Chazar zeichen nishol bachich es chashagam rabbi Yehudim sechaz erim daf kuf dalet. Zark the Mishnah, one may place salt on the ramp of the Mizbech on Shabbos so that it should not be slippery. One may draw water from the Goyla well and from the great well, we'll see what that means, with a windlass, which is a pail which is attached to a turning mechanism which makes it easy to draw the water on Shabbos. One may do so for the Hakir well on Yom Tov. Where our Mishnah says that salt may be placed on the ramp in the base of Mikdash, which is mashman, that this method cannot be done elsewhere because it's like adding to the ground and therefore it's building. However, Brisa says that one may place straw on the ground, even not in the Mikdash in the rainy season, to make that the ground is easier to walk on. Mara says the difference is that straw is not left on the ground, it's eventually going to be picked up and used, and therefore it's not considered to be adding to the ground. Salt will be left there, and therefore it's problematic when it's not done in the Mikdash. In fact, Mara of Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi, if the salt will be abandoned there, it's adding to the dimensions of the Mizbech, which may not be done, and if it won't be abandoned there, then the salt acts as a chatzitza between the kohen and the ramp, which is also a problem. Where it says the salting is being done when the kohanim are walking the limbs up the mizbech, which is not considered to be an avoda, and therefore chatzitza is not a problem. In fact, we learn from a pasuk that walking the limbs up the ramp is considered to be an avoda. Where it says the salting is done when they're walking up the ramp with wood for the mizbech. Rava said that one may place straw on the ground in the rainy season. Rav Papa asked, Rav said the straw used must be from a broken box. This mashmah, you can't just use regular whatever you want. Rav says, Rava said, I was mistaken. Attaka may only be done from straw with straw from a broken box. Mishnah said, Mimalim mi bar ha-goyla. Ula was by Rav Nasha and someone came and was knocking on the door. Ula said, making sounds like that is also due on Shabbos. Rava said, making noise is only also when you're making it to make musical sounds. By yes, the Brisa says that one may make water drip from an arak to make a noise for a sick person on Shabbos. It's mashma that this may be done only for a sick person, even though it's not a musical sound. The Gemara says the sound it makes is actually somewhat musical because it helps to put the person to sleep. That's why it's mutter only to do for a sick person. In fact, the Brisa says that one who's guarding produce from birds may not clap his hands to scare the birds on Shabbos, even though clapping doesn't create a musical sound. Rav Acha Bar Akiva said it's also because of exeger that it may lead to him throwing rocks at the birds and having the rocks thrown into Rishus HaRab. That's a different reason altogether. Rav Yehuda Neimer Rav said that women may not play a game that involves knocking nuts into each other, presumably because it creates noise, even though it's not a musical noise. The Gemara says it's not allowed because we're afraid that they'll smooth out the ground to allow the nuts to roll easier. In fact, we even find that he does not allow this game using apples, even though apples don't create any noise. You see, it's not about the noise. In fact, the Mishnah says that we can draw water with a windlass in the Mikdash, but not elsewhere. Presumably, this is because this whole contraption creates a noise, which is something that we will only allow in the Mikdash. Mara says we don't allow it elsewhere because we're afraid that drawing water with it is too easy, and it will lead one to draw water to water his gardens or ruins on Shabbos as well. Amemar allowed drawing water in this way in Mechuzah because they didn't have gardens or ruins there. When he saw that people were drawing water and using it to soak flax in it, he said, drawing water like this is no longer allowed. Mishnah said, Er Hakir. Shmuel said, this refers to a well about which there were arguments regarding its permissibility after the Gaulis Bavel and an eventual heter to use it. Rigmar Brisa says that there are a number of wells by this name, so it can't be referring to one specific incident. I'm not going to be said, it refers to a fresh water well. Zok the Mishnah, if a sheretz is found in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yechon, remember, it says a kohen removes it by using his belt so that he doesn't touch it directly and therefore he won't become tummy himself, and doesn't look for another method of removing it so as not to prolong the presence of the tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says a kohen removes it with wooden tongs so as to prevent the spread of tumah. Zok the Mishnah, a sheretz, which is muksa, is removed on Shabbos when it's found in the following areas of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shimon Anna says when it's found in the Heichel, the Ulam, and the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rav Akiva says from any area which would be usher for a tummy person to enter the Beis HaMikdash under penalty of Karas or Chatas, there it can be removed from a Shabbos. In any other area, we would just cover it over with a pot until after Shabbos. Rav Shimon says when the Chachamim were allowing something to be done, it is something that would anyway have been allowed if not for the fact that they made it usher in the first place. What that means, we'll see in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, Rav Tavi Bar Kisna, in the name of Shmuel, said if someone brings a keli that is tummy from a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayiv. The one who brings in the actual sheretz itself is not chayav. The reason is because the Torah uses the terms regarding with bringing in the tamei item, whether man or woman. When stating this iser, that's what the pasuk says, and this teaches that you're only chayav for bringing in an item that can become tar by going to the mikvah. Keli can do that. The sheretz obviously will not become tar by being put into a mikvah. In fact, tomorrow maybe we can bring a proof of this concept from a brisa. The brisa says, the pasuk uses the term whether man or woman to teach that one who brings a tummy earthenware keli into the Beis HaMikdash will not be chayiv. Presumably this is because a tummy dika klicheres can't become tar in a mikvah. Mara says it could be that the reason he's not chayiv in that case is because to be chayiv, the item brought in must have the ability to become an avatumah. which an earthenware keli can never become an avatumah like we learn out from Sukkim. So it could be a different reason, not because they can't go to the mikvah. In fact, maybe this is the source of the machlokes in our Mishnah. Remember, it may hold that one is chayiv if he brings a sheretz into the mikdash. That's why the first priority is removing it, even at the cost of the belt of the kayim becoming tamei. But Yehuda says one would not be chayiv. That's why its removal is not a priority. That's why you're better off looking for wooden tongs to prevent the spread of tumah. Like, no, it could be that all agree that he would be chayiv for bringing a sheretz. Machlokes may be whether it's more important to rid the mikdash of tumah or to prevent additional items from becoming tamei. Maybe this is the source of machlekes the mission regarding the place in which a sheretz must be removed. Shimon Anas, who holds that one may not remove a sheretz from the azara on Shabbos, must hold because you would not be chayiv for bringing a sheretz in there. Rabbi Kiva, who says it must be removed from the azara, holds that it would be chayiv from you would be chayiv for bringing a sheretz in there. Mara says no, all agree that one would be chayiv for bringing the sheretz in. The machlekes is only regarded for taking it out and whether the isra of muktzah would be waived to allow removal of the tumah.